You're tuned to Focus on Campus, a weekly show which highlights faculty, staff, and students here at the University of Texas at El Paso.
I'm Norma Martinez in for Louis Sainz today, and in the studio, we have Tom Fullerton, professor of economics at UTEP, and Tom's here to talk about the 9th Border Economic Forum. Well, welcome back to the show, Tom.
Thank you, Norma. It's good to be here.
Well, this is going to be a forum that's taking place next week, January the 15th, from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., and it's an event that's happening right here on the UTEP campus, and it's going to feature economists, academics, business leaders who are going to be coming together to talk about economics here on the border. And before we get to the specifics about this particular forum, there's so many border communities that stretch from the very edge of Texas all the way up into California. And each of these border communities is different in its own way, aside from the similarities of just being on the border. But what maybe separates the El Paso, Juarez, or Southern New Mexico border region with that of the rest of the U.S.-Mexico border?
The amazing thing about the Borderplex is that we are located 600 miles and 700 miles from the nearest coastlines. We're out here in the middle of the high desert, and yet we've got one of the biggest border economies in the entire world. And see, that is very unique. I think the key to all of this is the fact that even though we're out here in the middle of things, in El Paso, you've got a large metropolitan economy in the United States whose downtown area is directly adjacent to the border. And that has created a symbiotic situation where you get all sorts of growth in Ciudad Juarez that hooks into what's going on the north side of the river, and it's just taken off from there. It's something that 70 years ago, El Paso, yes, it was one of the top 50 cities in the United States. Here we are all these years later and all the transformations the U.S. economy has gone through, and El Paso is still on that list. It's moved up into the top 20 in terms of metropolitan economies, and it's, I think, what really sets us apart is you've got a major U.S. city whose focal point is the border, even though we're miles away, hundreds of miles away from either coastline. And so that's what sets us apart, and it's something that other border communities have scratched their heads over for decades.
Well, I believe the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, just recently celebrated an anniversary, correct? So what kind of effect, I guess, long term has that had here on the border region?
What NAFTA did really was to change people's ideas about the way that Mexico and the United States could interact. And as part of that process, when people saw that it worked, it just brought a lot of investment into Ciudad Juarez principally, but there was a lot of business opportunities created on this side of the border as well. And so, you know, effectively what NAFTA did, it simply reduced trade barriers. But beyond that, let's see, the signal was given and the business community picked up on it. And so we had a lot of investment into new areas of activity because people realized, hey, this is not something that is a temporary thing. Originally, the Maquiladora program was set up just to occupy unemployed braceros. But over the years, people began to realize, hey, there's a lot more going on to this. And, you know, maybe these economists that are pointing out all these things about letting the markets work and trying to reduce barriers to trade and business, maybe they're on to something. NAFTA represented, in a lot of ways, a culmination of that. Finally, last year we had something real exciting happen in Mexico in terms of reforming the labor code. Not everything's been ironed out in terms of the detail, and their unemployment insurance program is still not up and running. But next to NAFTA, that's probably the biggest structural reform measure that's been approved down there. And if that actually goes through, we're going to see a new wave of investment and a whole new genre of business opportunities surface as a consequence of that. So NAFTA kind of was the continuation of things that had started back in 1965, but it also was the catalyst for more things to come, and hopefully the labor code reforms from last year will spur things along in a manner that's analogous to what NAFTA did.
So I guess NAFTA just sort of opened up the border more on a macro level because, I mean, anybody who has grown up here or spent many years here on the border, they know that more on a micro level, people were always going back and forth and purchasing items on both sides of the border. And I'm sure that slowed down a little bit, or maybe a lot of it, with the drug violence that has been so prevalent on the border region and further south into Mexico. But we've been hearing now that the drug violence is starting to abate. And so I think maybe we're going to be seeing more crossing, not necessarily from Mexico to the U.S., but maybe more from the U.S. back into Mexico and maybe feeding their economy a little bit more.
Yeah, and the biggest symbol of that is the renaissance of commercial real estate in Ciudad Juarez. 2009, 2010, the shopping centers in Ciudad Juarez represented ghost towns. I mean, there were just all sorts of boarded up businesses due to all sorts of things. Not only was it the decline in terms of customer traffic from both sides of the river, but also it was problems with all the additional types of crime that accompanied the increase in the drug war activities. And see, the renaissance in commercial real estate, shopping centers are thriving again in Ciudad Juarez, as they should be. And there are a lot of people that are from El Paso that are now going back to Ciudad Juarez and enjoying things like the restaurant opportunities there, the nightclub opportunities, things that, you know, the border can enjoy that other places in the country cannot enjoy. And so if you want to monitor how well Ciudad Juarez is doing, watch the shopping centers. As long as those shopping centers have full parking lots and they don't have any empty storefronts, you know that the economy is operating as it should.
Now, I'm thinking that there might be maybe a decline in, especially along the border communities, in that traffic going into Mexico or keeping maybe Mexican shoppers in Mexico, because I've been hearing about this new law that intends to raise the sales tax on border communities. Even though the rest of Mexico has been already paying this higher tax, the border communities, they had their tax down at lower levels. And now the Mexican government is going to be raising that tax. So how do you predict that that is going to affect not necessarily here us on the border, but all along the U.S.-Mexico border?
Normally, what the increase in the value-added tax would have caused would have been a fairly muted effect. It was a 5 percentage point increase. It's like a 5 percentage point increase in the effective price that consumers pay. Well, nobody likes prices to go up by 5% all at once, but it's not a crisis situation for most households. Unfortunately, the way that all this materialized, it created a backlash. And it's type of backlash against public policy that is rarely seen in any country, let alone Mexico. And we began to observe protest purchases taking place on the north side of the border as early as November. And a lot of people were mad about the value-added tax, and so they've come across the border in anticipation of it. Now it's January. The higher value-added tax is in effect, and there's still public indignation over this increase. And, you know, anecdotally, what has been happening, in addition to more people coming across the river in spite of the long lines and everything else, is that, people have purchased items, opened them in the stores, gone to the cash register to check out, and then paid by a lower amount than what the total amount that rings up on the cash register is. And when the cashiers point out, hey, you haven't paid the entire amount, they say, well, I'm not going to pay the higher IVA. That's the IVA is the acronym for the value-added tax in northern Mexico. So in the case of El Paso, something like this normally would have led to about an additional $25 million a year in retail sale exports to residents of northern Mexico. What may happen this year as a consequence of the backlash is that amount may get doubled. It may even get quadrupled. That'll be a short-run thing, but in 2014 – there are going to be more customers making purchases in El Paso than otherwise would have been the case. Over the long run, the backlash is going to die down, and eventually it'll translate into about a $25 million a year reaction to the higher prices in Ciudad Juarez. It would be, you know, it's something that the border area has observed on multiple occasions, either as a consequence of devaluations or tax increases or price increases. But this year, things have really been thrown out of kilter because of the anger over the whole fiscal reform package that was approved back in November.
There hasn't maybe been talk of a tax vacation that you know of, because, you know, here in the state of Texas, right before school starts in the fall, you have that one day where there's no sales tax.
You know, it's really interesting because merchants on the north side of the river, and this is from San Diego all the way down to Brownsville, they have not engaged in any type of special marketing campaigns or advertising promotions designed to capitalize on this. In fact, if anything, they've been sympathetic to their retailing counterparts on the south side of the river. They're treating their customers very well, but nobody has launched a campaign that's a permanent EVA holiday on the north side of the river. Or, you know, take that, Mexico City. We can market to your customers. Nobody is doing that. See, treating their customers well, but nobody is trying to take advantage of anything that's temporary and ultimately is unfortunate in terms of what's going on.
Well, let's get back to the Border Economic Forum that's going to be taking place next week here on the university campus. Sort of give us an overview of what, if maybe people are interested in attending, what they can expect during this day-long event.
Well, the first thing that we're going to try to do is provide an economic outlook for what's going to happen in 2014. We'll have a U.S. economic outlook provided by Dr. Roberto Coronado from the El Paso branch of the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. We'll have a Las Cruces economic outlook offered by Jim Peach, who is a Regents professor at New Mexico State University. Then we have a professor from Universidad Autónoma de Ciudad Juárez, that's David Vasquez Guzman. He's going to talk about tax reform in Mexico as well as the outlook for the Ciudad Juárez maquiladora industry, because there's other non-value-added aspects of that fiscal reform package that are affecting the maquiladora industry and causing a lot of headaches as well. The El Paso Economic Outlook is going to be provided by myself from here at UTEP. And then in the afternoon, Dean Bob Nachman from the UTEP College of Business Administration is going to preside over a panel of experts with regard to business issues that are going to affect the economy, the regional economy, in 2014. We'll have David Torres, a senior economist from El Paso Water Utilities, Matt McElroy, who's in charge of development efforts at the city of El Paso, Richard Dayube, number one cheerleader for the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce and the regional economy. He's going to participate. Emma Schwartz from the Medical Center of the Americas here in El Paso. It's a lot of exciting things taking place there. Jerry Pacheco from the International Business Accelerator in Santa Teresa. And, of course, he's an expert on international trade as well as regional business development. And then Pablo Cuaron from, the Board of Directors of the Ciudad Juárez office of the Central Bank of Mexico, and he's also a manager at Compañía Maderera de Chihuahua. And so we've got a good mix of economists as well as business professionals that are going to try to provide a blueprint for what are the major trends that are expected to materialize in 2014, and then, you know, what are the possible outcomes associated with them.
And I know there might be some people who are listening right now who might not know too much, myself included, about how you come up with these predictions for the year. You're not just throwing darts at a dartboard thinking, okay, this year the economy is going to go up 2% and unemployment is going to be this, that, and the other. But how are these predictions made, if you can maybe wrap that up in a nutshell?
In the case of the Borderplex Economic Outlook, we have a 255 equation model that models economic activity from Las Cruces all the way down to Chihuahua City. And so we filter into that big model, economic trends from the United States and from Mexico, and then simulate what the impacts of those developments are going to be in terms of economic activity in Chihuahua, Juarez, El Paso, and Las Cruces. So we've got a big econometric model that we spin, so to speak, on the basis of what's going on. Nationally, we operate this model as a satellite to big 1,000 equation models for the U.S. economy and for the Mexico economy. And we can run through there, all sorts of variables, and we do that, in fact. And then that gives us sort of a quantitative outlook in terms of what is likely to emerge over the course of the current business cycle. And we've been doing this since 1998. We started building the model in 1996 and released our first forecast here at UTEP in 1998. And periodically we'll go in and see how well the model's track record is in different segments. We've looked at housing. We've looked at the hotel sector. We've looked at employment. We looked at a variety of different sectors, looked at the maquiladora sector also, to try to, you know, give ourselves a report card, so to speak, on how we're doing. And we upgrade the model on the basis of how well we're doing, or, you know, see how well we're not doing. And so that's how we put together the base numbers. Of course, you know, 18 tables worth of statistical information is great for business professionals and government professionals. But for purposes of the Border Economic Forum on Wednesday, everybody will have PowerPoints with graphs and stuff. And so we'll summarize 1,000 data points into one graph to make a play on the old Chinese adage.
Well, the public is invited to the free Border Economic Forum happening this coming Wednesday, January the 15th. It's going to be at the UTEP El Paso Natural Gas Conference Center, which is right across the street from the UTEP Library. The hours are from 8 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. However, you do recommend that people register early, and today, I believe, is that final day of registration.
They do have to register ahead of time. Today is the final day. The number to call is 521-5244 if you're here in the 915. You can also look for Marisol Martinez on the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas website, and there are links there to the 9th Border Economic Forum. Please register ahead of time. That's for planning purposes, because we have to offer food and refreshments, and we need to plan for that in advance.
And we will go ahead and post that information as well on the Focus on Campus page at ktep.org. Well, Tom Fullerton, professor of economics here at UTEP, one of the featured speakers at the Border Economic Forum, thank you so much for joining us today.
Norma, thank you very much.
You've been listening to Focus on Campus. For Louis Symes, I'm Norma Martinez.